reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 4, The Incarnations of Godhead, page number 4. Yad jaya esha bhuvannatha yasani resha.
Yad jaya esha bhuvannatha yasani resha.
Yashyendriyashtanubritham ubayendriyani.
Yashyendriyashtanubritham ubayendriyani.
Yam sata sasanato barano jaiha.
Yam sata sasanato barano jaiha.
Sadhari bhisiti layhar baba adi kavata.
Sadhari bhisiti layhar baba adi kavata.
Yathae,
yathae,
within whose body,
within whose body,
esha,
esha,
this,
this,
bhuvanatraya,
bhuvanatraya,
of the three planetary systems making up the universe,
of the three planetary systems making up the universe,
sannivesha,
sannivesha,
the elaborate arrangement,
the elaborate arrangement,
Asya,
Asya,
Akum,
Akum,
Indriyai,
Indriyai,
by the senses,
by the senses,
Tanubritam,
Tanubritam,
of the embodied living beings,
of the embodied living beings,
Ubai Indriyani,
Ubai Indriyani,
both kinds of senses,
both kinds of senses,
knowledge acquiring and active,
knowledge acquiring and active,
Yam,
Yam,
knowledge,
Shraddha,
Shraddha, directly from him,
directly from him,
Shashanatha,
Shashanatha,
from his breathing,
from his breathing,
Balam,
Balam,
strength of the body,
strength of the body,
Oja,
Oja,
strength of the senses,
strength of the senses,
Iha,
Iha,
activities,
activities,
Sattva-adhihi, by nature's modes of goodness, passion and ignorance.
By nature's modes of goodness, passion and ignorance.
Sthiti, in maintenance.
In maintenance.
Laya,
Laya,
destruction.
Destruction.
Udbhavi,
Udbhavi,
and creation.
And creation.
Adhikarta,
Adhikarta,
the original doer.
The original doer.
Translation. Within his body are elaborately arranged the three planetary systems of this universe. His transcendental senses generate the knowledge, acquiring and active senses of all embodied beings. His consciousness generates conditioned knowledge, and his powerful breathing produces the bodily strength, sensory power and conditioned activities of the embodied souls. He is the prime mover through the agency of the material modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. And thus the universe is created, maintained and annihilated. Purport. When a conditioned soul becomes completely exhausted by his strenuous activities, or when he is overcome by disease, death or fear, he loses all power to manifest practical knowledge or activities. Thus we should understand that independent of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can neither work nor cultivate knowledge. By the mercy of the Personality of Godhead, the conditioned soul acquires a material body, which is a perverted reflection of the unlimited spiritual body of the Lord. Thus the living entity engages in ignorant materialistic activities for society, friendship and love. But the entire program suddenly vanishes with the unforeseen dissolution of the material body. Similarly, our material knowledge is always subject to become null and void within an instant, since the material nature is itself constantly changing. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the prime mover behind the birth, maintenance and destruction of the universe. and the living entity to try to understand that personality of Godhead who has given him so much facility for illusion. The personality of Godhead actually wants a conditioned soul to surrender to him and regain an eternal life of bliss and knowledge at the Lord's side. The conditioned soul should reason, if the Lord is giving me so much facility to merge into ignorance, surely he will give me even more facility to come out of this ignorance if I humbly follow this direction without foolish speculations. This verse describes Pratadakshaya Vishnu, the second phase of the Purusha incarnations of the Lord. This Pratadakshaya Vishnu, who is glorified in the Purusha Sukta prayers, expands himself as the super soul to enter the heart of every one being. Through chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, even in this degraded age, one can find the Supreme Lord within one's heart. The Lord is a person as much as we are, but he is unlimited. Still, a personal, loving relationship exists between the tiny living entity and the unlimited Supreme Lord. In consideration of this personal relationship, Bhakti Yoga is the only suitable process by which to come to the ultimate understanding of our constitutional position as eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. I'll read the translation again. Within his body are elaborately arranged the three planetary systems of this universe. His transcendental senses generate the knowledge acquiring and active senses of all embodied beings. His consciousness generates conditioned knowledge, and his powerful breathing produces the bodily strength, sensory power, and conditioned activities of the embodied souls. He is the prime mover through the agency of the material modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And thus the universe is created, maintained, and annihilated. So, the previous verse also, these two verses, very much connected. I'll just read the translation of the previous verse, text 3. When the primeval Lord Narayana created his universal body out of the five elements produced from himself, and then entered within that body by his own plenary portion, he thus became known as the Purusha. So that leads on to today's verse. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, in the 1st verse, Krishna says, Sri Bhagavan Bhaccha, Maya Shakti Manakata, Yoga Minjan Varashaya, Asam Sayam Samagrama, Ita Kyasyasi Tashpunu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, now hear, O son of Krita, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So that's that word, asamsayam, without doubt. So this Krishna consciousness philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam means that one can actually have a complete understanding of the that which is material, that which is spiritual. One can understand the nature of one's own spiritual nature. One can understand the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of the material energy, of time, of karma. One can actually understand everything. Srila Prabhupada, actually quoting that particular verse from the Bhagavad Gita, describes that actually in other religious systems they all still have doubt. You know, there's if you read many of the religious scriptures that are available apart from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vedic revealed scriptures, even after reading them, one is still left with a considerable amount of doubt. Generally, the followers have to accept a more vague quantity of knowledge, and just because it is more vague, there are many things that they just have to accept on faith blindly. Whereas Krishna is saying that may be the case for others, but if you actually study Bhagavad Gita, which is the preliminaries of understanding material and spiritual subject matters, even then you can actually be free from doubt. So this is the Krishna describing how the knowledge that he is giving personally is far superior. Here is describing how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is creating, manifesting his universal form. So in the form of Yavadaksha Vishnu, he is manifesting the universal form, and thus creating all the activities, the knowledge, the bodies, everything within the universe. Srila Prabhupada, I was listening to a lecture, and Srila Prabhupada, he was quoting that verse from the same chapter. He was quoting text number 4, and where Krishna says a similar thing in a much more simplified way. He says, Bumira Bhumala Nalobayu Pamano Bhumya Ivicha Ahantara Iti Yamni Binakati Astada. Early water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, altogether these 8 constitute mind separated energies. So Srila Prabhupada quoted that verse, and then he was asking his disciples, Krishna is stating that these elements such as earth, their mind, I'm creating them. So you prove that. How do you prove that? That was the question that he was asking his disciples. But this is knowledge. Krishna gives knowledge, and one is also supposed to come to the point of vijnana, the point Srila Prabhupada was making, that we accept knowledge and then we apply our consciousness and meditate upon it, and we try to personally become convinced that what is the knowledge, the jnana, that is given from Shastra. So I will ask the audience here the same question to the Prabhupada, and ask to prove, how do you actually prove that Krishna says, earth, water, their mind, I am producing them? How can we substantiate that Krishna? Because no one else will. We accept it, I suppose, but if we were to substantiate it so that people would not accept it just blindly on faith, how would we do that?
Thank you.
Is the sun the stone Krishna?
Krishna.
The stone? Is that?
Yeah.
If you say to people in general, so for instance, we've already made a statement which is very difficult to understand.
Yeah,
so now we're going to say that make it easy for them to understand by giving something which is even more incomprehensible.
Right.
So that probably, again, that may be difficult for the average person. So, you know, there's a big jump from deity worship to saying that, you know, Krishna, and he made them.
My argument would be a logical argument that we have evidence in the material world is that we will lose
it. It is a logical argument, right? The difficulty is there's many steps of understanding before you get to that logic. So that's coming to the end of logic. You see what I mean? It's like for the average person, it is logical what you're saying, but that's way at the end of the many steps of understanding before they can get to that point. Then when they get to that point, then yes, they can accept it logically. What you were saying, that the devotees, they're worshipping the deity, they're experiencing Krishna's presence. But to connect that to that, you know, earth, Krishna is saying, that is my energy, and the average person would say, no, you know, I see Krishna anywhere. That's a big jump for most people. Too big.
I can only really think of an argument about who you created from, where did it come from, we didn't create the elements.
So what was that?
We didn't create the elements.
We didn't create the elements.
So
Krishna must have. That had to come from somewhere. Again, we can say that had to come from somewhere. So if you ask 1,000 different people, they'll give you 1,000 different somewheres where it come from. But there's no what connected to Krishna. Someone say, you know, connects to Shiva. Someone say, connects to something, you know, not a person, something. Some people say connects to a boy, something different, you know. Why would we connect to Krishna? How can we connect to Krishna? How can we substantiate that?
Is the question how is it connected to Krishna or how is it Krishna?
Well, Krishna is saying that earth, water, fire, air and ether are his energies.
Yeah.
He is made. How can we prove that? By elimination, that would take a long time. By elimination, when you talk to a million people each, and each one gives them, you know, I give this verse, and then you have to defeat each and every one. When you've defeated, in fact, every single person on this planet, and only Krishna is left. But still, you get the same question. Although by elimination, Krishna may be the only cause left, people may not take that as truth still. They may say, well, if that's the only known cause left, there may be another cause we don't know of.
It can be proven by approaching the target, just like if you want to know who the father is at the last moment. You can't do an analysis, you can.
So, who do we accept as a father?
The scriptures, the Timothy devotees.
You have your scriptures, we have ours.
Like Narayana.
You have your saints, we have ours. You have your saints, we have ours. That's what they were saying. You have your scriptures, we have ours. And then they wanted to check for the truth. He says, does he say, the near the fallen and all the people? Come on, Lord, and believe in chant.
God is creator.
And God is creator, yes. So, same thing. How do we prove God is a creator? It's the same point. Krishna is saying it, Jesus is saying it. How do we prove it? There's the same statement still needs to be proven.
There must be a person to be a creator. There has to be a person, even in our life, if you want to create something, there has to be a person behind it, a Krishna is behind. He can do it in unlimited, but he can do it in unlimited.
It's a big jump for people. It's a big jump of, you know, we see so many people, so many persons, and we don't see plants coming out of the ears or the pores of the skin. And we are saying that this is the case of Krishna.
Power station which generates electricity is Krishna, not the person behind.
That's the point. So therefore, they would say that means that the electricity is coming from the person running the power station.
No, it's not coming.
But they would say, no, it doesn't come from the person. It comes from the building and the machinery.
Yeah,
you're saying, so therefore, in that argument, you're saying it's coming from the person, but they would say, well, the electricity doesn't come from the man in the powerhouse, it comes from the building and the machinery. And he is just that we don't see electricity coming out of his eyes and his hair. He's holding onto the wire that's coming.
Well, we can hear the conversation as Krishna is. We can't exactly analogy, sometimes we get the principle, we can't compare all the details. But the analogy to the original analogy helps us understand the principle. So we can't compare building exactly like Krishna, we can't compare it, but the principle is energy comes from the source, and that's the power station. And how is this sound Krishna not? I don't know how electricity is generated, and I don't have to know.
So they will say, if your analogy doesn't answer the question, why do it?
No, analogy answers the principle. Answers the principle better. The principle is energy comes from the source of the energy.
Yes.
In this example, it's power station. We don't compare buildings with the personality of Krishna. In analogy, we can't get all to prove it. All details of the analogy to prove the point. It's important to prove the principle.
So that analogy proves what principle?
Proves that the energy comes from the source of energy.
Which is the building.
Which is the but you know it comes from the foundation who is able to generate and transform all this energy and bring them outside.
So that proves the materialist point.
Yes, that proves the materialistic point that energy comes from the source of energy.
It's a building.
Well,
how do you get from there to the person?
Krishna, yes. Building is compared to Krishna. Electricity is compared to his energy.
How would you say that possibly couldn't understand unless there were any devotion first to the Lord and then got the realized knowledge through the heart?
Okay, so then,
we have some faith and then we went to say that exactly when we get realization from the Lord and then bring devotion.
If you have your faith, we have, I have mine.
What?
You have your faith, I have mine.
So if they're possibly trying to understand how Krishna created all these elements and how he's supreme control over the same world, trying to get to know Krishna, bring the devotional service to him, and you see it can be realized through your heart.
But they would say that trying to get to know Krishna is a waste of time because he doesn't exist. But sure, it's your statement that he exists, and that everything is coming from him.
Well,
you want me to waste my time?
That is quite childish in some sense. Like when I speak about, if the science says, well, this is what, if you do this kind of experiment, you know, you get this kind of result. And you say, no, I do not believe your faith. That is very childish.
Yeah.
Krishna has been a system, and you follow that, and then you realize that. Which many devotees have realized.
If they really want to know.
Otherwise, you just doubt it, should be just a waste of time.
When they're asking, if they're not even going to try to find out, they obviously don't know.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. Also, another way I was thinking about it, you can analyze it without air, without smell, without fire, you can see, without water, you can't taste. Like for example, Shelley depends so much on water, and you can't create in that laboratory or something, and they have to depend on someone creating it. And that is the love, and that is the understanding.
The clouds create water.
Pardon me?
The clouds create water.
Yeah, but then who designs it? There must be a designer.
You're saying there are people up in the clouds.
They can speculate on it.
So you have your experiment with Krishna, Can you imagine, according to your faith, that everything is coming from Krishna? We have our experience in our laboratories which show that, there is no Krishna. They believe the universities.
Practically,
you
can experience it.
Yeah.
So because of that, yes,
they have faith that they pray to God when they're in great difficulty.
Yes.
And when the difficulty is over, because their faith is not scientifically established, then they quickly forget. So Prabhupada's question is, how can we scientifically establish conviction, therefore that faith will not be so weak? So we see that with, you know, many people who do have faith in God as the Creator, that the faith is very weak. There's not a lot of conviction. So Prabhupada's point, he wanted to establish scientific understanding of God consciousness, and that scientific understanding, vijnana, gives firm conviction. It cannot be shaken under any circumstances, so that is different. The example that he gave, of course, was that we ourselves produce so many elements, you know, just like Krishna says that, you know, water, he produces water. So we ourselves also, we produce water, we produce perspiration, right? So much perspiration. When we cry, we produce tears. So we can produce, you know, water. We also produce earth, you know, the hair, and the nails. You see some, you know, some people who grow their nails, and they literally, that can be, you know, maybe a meter or something long, and it's good. So we ourselves are actually producing all these different elements. We see this, you know, not just us, but trees, they produce fruits, cows, that they produce milk, huge quantities, huge quantities. We see even someone like Raghunath Das Goswami, one may say that you know, particular elements coming into the body, like water comes into the body, so water goes out of the body and you're not actually producing. But we see personalities like Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, he used to take maybe just a palmful, or not even that, just a few drops really, a couple of teaspoons of buttermilk every other day. Not even every day. That would be his meal. And yet still, we see that he was very, very active, and you know, still the body is producing so much quantity of the various elements. So it's not difficult for us to understand that we are producing certain elements, so therefore why would it be difficult to conceive that God, who is unlimited, can produce larger quantities of these elements? So that is the example of sort of Prabhupada gathering. So it's something that can be seen every day, does not have to be accepted by faith. We see that a small ant, they will produce, you know, little spiders, they can produce their webs, so much huge amount of work from the time of the spider. They transform them. So therefore, in the same way, Krishna, that they have different potencies, energies within their bodies by which they transform into different material elements, earth, water, like that. And similarly, Krishna, God, has multifarious potencies which he transforms into different material elements. The same.
So we are saying that he is transforming all the devotees within him into the five
elements. Yes, everything is already existing within him, and then his energy is transformed into all the various elements. And all living entities, because of the presence of the spirit soul, they also have that potency to do the same, but on a smaller scale. So small creatures can produce small quantities of these elements, larger creatures can produce larger quantities of these elements, and the supreme person can produce the greatest quantity. So you see here in this verse, Krishna is saying that within his body are elaborately arranged the three planetary systems of this universe. And his transcendental senses generate the knowledge acquiring active senses of all embodied beings. So, what's that? The difference is that he is, his creations are the largest creations, in fact, unlimited, and our creations are limited.
And the big creations
that is also many individual creations. Who created many individuals? You still get back in the form of God.
Or some other individual.
That is Krishna, right?
But they don't accept Krishna.
So the point here with that example that Prabhupada was giving is that it's not hard to conceive that God can create so many things. We can see it in a small scale that we are doing it ourselves, and therefore it's not some magical mystery. It's not so such a huge step in faith to see that on a bigger scale the same process is going on. And of course, understanding that, then you go on to the next point as to, as you're saying, do we accept Krishna as that person or like that? So, you know, that is the next point. We don't immediately jump to that. Srila Prabhupada was talking with Hari Kesh Swami, and he was asked, Prabhupada was asking questions like this, and Hari Kesh Swami answered, because of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, why do you immediately come to Krishna consciousness? It's like, sometimes as devotees, we have that bad habit that when anyone asks us a question, we give them the answer of Krishna consciousness. But there are so many steps of understanding before that that they need in order to accept that, yes, the answer is Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada would spend many, many hours, most of his life actually, going over these very, analogies and examples that can be readily accepted, so that we can just accept the first point and then come to the next logical question. And as I mentioned once before, if the people didn't know what the next logical question was, then he would say, so the next question is, and of course they would realize, yes, of course that's the next thing we need to ask, and then he would go about and answer that question. So point by point, but we have to be careful that someone approaches a devotee and we say, and we just, oh, yes, Krishna, because Krishna is God and you have to take up Krishna consciousness and bhakti yoga is the only way, or anything like that. It is very, very difficult, even for devotees, actually. And we see sometimes, if devotees have been preached to like that over so many years, sometimes when it comes to a crisis of faith, they don't really have the conviction to be able to get through it. So, what to speak of discussion among devotees, discussing among those who not cultivate Krishna consciousness. We have to take it step by step, very, very carefully like that. And gradually, if we do that, then you can very easily bring people to understand very, very difficult philosophical understandings about the science of God. And but if I notice with Srila Prabhupada in his preaching, if a person couldn't get past a certain step, he just left it at that. And then we get them, keep chanting, keep taking prasadam, come back and see me another time and we'll discuss it again. Prabhupada was always, but it's not that we have to convince everyone of everything in that meeting. Just whatever they can accept at that particular time, and when they get to the limit of their understanding, we have to perceive that and stop there. We've made some progress, and if we've made some progress, that may be enough for them to start chanting and to take some prasadam. And if they do that, everything else will come. Exactly, yeah. Every time they say something, you prove them wrong, it's a good question. Alright, we've gone out of time. Shall I all go to the program?